We will continue our services this evening, yet with that prayer of faith that God, who has opened already unto us His love and grace. I shall read from the Word of God from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with the 22nd verse, and we hear these words read in Jesus' name. And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before Him onto the other side, while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, He was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come unto Thee on the water." And He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth Thou art the Son of God." Amen. When we heard the welcome this evening, and then we heard the Word of God also, which was spoken by our brother, it felt good to be reminded that we can be here as God's children, and I rejoiced in my heart. But yet the doubts come, and the fears, and sin, which is so close, come. And I ask, can I yet believe my sins and doubts forgiven? I want to believe together with you. And I thought in this way that when we have been able to gather together at fall services, maybe some of you, when you saw the beautiful evening that was before us as we drove here in the sun setting, you thought of temporal life and some of the many blessings of temporal life. But yet, when we heard the singing and we heard the welcome and we've been able to be in the hearing of God's Word, how God has comforted and He has fed. And I especially want to speak to you young people who are here. The Heavenly Father knows you also by name. And He has called you to the hearing of His Word. And He knows of your life and the things of this life and the temptations of youth that are so close to you. And I thought of this text of Peter and Jesus and the disciples and of the great love that Jesus had for His disciples when He had told them to go and to leave and to cross over that sea which was familiar to them. It says here in our text that Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side. They knew and they believed that Jesus would join them later. And then it says that Jesus went up into the mountain to pray. What did Jesus pray? If we were to read in the Gospel of John, we can hear and we will read a few words, a few verses of that Gospel from the 17th chapter when Jesus prays on behalf of his children. He says, "For I have given," and he's praying his last prayer, and he's praying unto his Father in heaven. And he prayed on his own behalf, and he prayed on behalf of the disciples and the other children of God. And it says that, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, and they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil." Do you believe, as I believe, as God's word testifies, that Jesus prays on your behalf? And Jesus prays on my behalf, and he prays on behalf of all of his children. What is the care of Jesus for his own? We can see in this text one example of real life, something that did happen. It is a true happening of what took place when the disciples began to cross that sea. It says that the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. I think the disciples are like you and me. They had just recently been with their Lord and Savior. They had seen how Jesus had divided the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fishes and fed the thousands that were there. When he had asked them to sit down into groups and prayed unto his Father, and he broke that meal and gave it to the disciples to distribute. When the disciples then gathered up the fragments after all had eaten and were filled, 12 baskets were filled of what remained. Not one lacked there. And the disciples, I'm sure, rejoiced in their heart that they were able to see and to hear and to believe. And how quickly they began to doubt and became afraid. They saw that the winds were boisterous, and the sea tossed them to and fro. I think the world that we live in today can also be a picture of what the disciples experienced. We are traveling here in the sea of this world. And the doctrine and the teaching of the world does not comfort. It does not help us in our walk of faith. We often hear, for example, the world teach how we are unable to feed those children that God gives, and the world teaches that we would limit the size of our families. The world teaches of how we ought to take care of the earth, and it's good that we would care for it and we would dress it and so on. But the world teaches that we would not overpopulate the earth. The world does not teach any longer that marriage is for one man and one woman to be joined together forever. But the world has now begun to teach, under the disguise of tolerance and love, that men can marry men and women can marry women. So many are the winds of the doctrine of the unbelieving world. And we, as children of God, sometimes feel that we are being buffeted on all sides. And as children of God, we also feel how temptation comes close. And we also experience our own doubts and our fears when the enemy of souls says to us that God is punishing you now in your life, when things haven't been so easy that you have not pleased Him. Or that the others will certainly hear that call that you have desired to hear one day, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, to inherit that which has been prepared since the foundation of the world." But the enemy of souls comes and he preaches a sermon of unbelief. And he says, "You will not hear your name read." You youth, think of those things that are so pleasing to the flesh of this life. And you want to battle against those things that have been preached as sin and have been preached and warned of that you will draw you away and take your faith. We know that James writes in this way that lust, when it is conceived, brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings death. So you see those things of this life that come so close and they feel so dear to you at times, and you fall into sin, and you listen to those songs and those worldly lyrics and the beat of the songs of this world that do not edify, do not comfort, but they steal your peace and your joy of being a child of God. Or those videos and movies which are so close in youth but also can continue later on in life. And you put them away and you desire to walk with a free conscience, not burdened by sin, but you fall again. And the enemy comes and says that you will be unable to prevail, deny your faith, live in those pleasures that this world offers you. I heard those lies of the enemy many times in my youth. The enemy said it is impossible that you would be able to endeavor. I was unable to endeavor with my own strength, but only by the grace of God am I able to yet travel together with you, endeavoring to keep faith and a good conscience, traveling again and again and gathering that gospel message to my cold and tempted heart. So we are buffeted on all sides. We experience in this life the storms, and at times we become afraid, as the disciples became afraid. And the disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea towards them. And they reasoned among themselves, and they used their carnal minds. And they thought that, who is it that is walking towards us? And they thought it is a spirit. And Jesus said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Jesus called out to them, reminded them, called their attention to Him away from their own thoughts and their own fears. And He said, it is I, be of good cheer. And Peter, who was always quick to speak, as some of us are, said, if it is You, Lord, let me come walking on the water to You. And when Peter stepped out of that boat, he began to walk towards Jesus. But quickly his gaze turned away from Jesus, and he saw again that the winds were boisterous. Maybe the enemy of souls turned his thoughts to his own sinfulness and his own corrupt nature. We don't know what the lies of the enemy were for Peter in this case, but I'm sure he saw in himself no strength of his own. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Did Jesus leave Peter to sink? If you have that cry in your heart this evening, Lord, save me, the Heavenly Father will not leave you there, but He will hear that cry. He hears the cry of His little children. He hears the bleating of His sheep. He hears the prayer of the tempted and the tried and the one who has fallen. He hears the sighs of the mothers and the fathers. And He reaches out His hand. And Peter took hold of that hand. And Jesus took him by the hand and brought him into the boat. Jesus reaches out His hand to His child every time when the child is in need. And that child is again able to return. And the peace returns to the child of God, and the Heavenly Father has prepared a home for each one of His little lambs. And that home is in His congregation where God has placed you. He has given you a congregation where you are able to walk with those fellow believers who are able to lift up the feeble hands that hang down and who are able to strengthen the feeble knees, as the writer to Hebrews says. And how do you find that peace? And how do you find that strength to endeavor? It's by believing that gospel message which is proclaimed in God's kingdom. As often as you have had need of it and you have asked, you have heard that you can yet believe all sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And peace returns. And the sea is calmed for a moment. And as the disciples, you are able to hear, as Jesus spoke to them many years ago, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Not telling them to go away, but telling them to come, and closing them in His bosom and holding them close. And there they experienced how the winds ceased. And then they were in the ship, and they came and worshipped Him, saying, of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Dear child of God here this evening, you have permission to believe all sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And you can believe unto peace and unto freedom and unto joy in the Holy Spirit. And you can walk momentarily, day by day, believing that your name is written in the book of life in heaven. And in believing this way, you will awaken on the other side of the grave, and you will hear your name read. And you will hear that call that you long to hear. Come, ye blessed of my Father, to inherit that which has been prepared since the foundation of the world. Paul writes in this way that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man those things that God has prepared for those who love him. God has prepared for you and for me and all who would believe a beautiful place there in heaven. No more tears, no more sorrows, no more worries, no more doubts, no more fears, no more hunger, no more thirst. But today, you can remain with this comfort that your sins are forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, in Jesus' name, amen. Let us close in prayer and benediction. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the goodness that you have given unto us this day. We thank you for your word. Make it be so that we would not only be hearers of your word, but doers also. Hear also the prayers on behalf of those many prodigal sons and daughters, those who are in distress over their sin. Guide them to the hearing of your word. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.